speak to Sam McBride, who is the political editor with the newsletter. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Sam, you've raised some worries with your reporting with regards to abortion legislation here in Northern Ireland, maybe something that people hadn't been thinking about.
This is legislation which is going through the Houses of Parliament very briskly. It was first introduced really onto the legislative scene last week as an amendment in the House of Commons from the Labour MP Stella Creasy. It came at the same point where there was a separate amendment about same-sex marriage, which both were passed with overwhelming support from MPs, very, very large majorities. But because they were attached to a fast-track bill which the Northern Ireland office had introduced, it was a piece of really quite technical legislation, but it was being rammed through the Houses of Parliament very quickly in the space of just over a week. There is very little time for what would be the normal parliamentary scrutiny of legislation, and therefore that has led to a degree of lack of clarity and concerns expressed last night in the House of Lords, which spent several hours debating this legislation and trying to refine it in some ways and coming to some consensus on some of the areas under discussion here. But a series of questions which still do not seem to be resolved, and particularly in relation to the abortion legislation, which is much more complicated than the same-sex marriage legislation. And really, the essential reason for that is that the amendment which was passed by MPs did not simply extend the 1967 Abortion Act from the rest of the UK into Northern Ireland. That would have been a relatively straightforward procedure. It would obviously have been controversial with people who do not support abortion being made legal in a more widespread sense in Northern Ireland, but it would have been pretty clear legally. What instead has been proposed is that there should be a full decriminalisation of abortion in Northern Ireland. That's something which is not the case in the rest of the UK. And so therefore, the government is going to have to write legislation from scratch, but that will not be primary legislation which comes before MPs, which is scrutinised line by line, which is publicly consulted upon before that happens. This is instead going to be done by something known as secondary legislation. That might sound quite technical, but it's very important because it essentially gives power to the Secretary of State to decide what happens here, rather than that being scrutinised by both government MPs, opposition MPs, and of course Northern Ireland MPs and peers in the Houses of Parliament.
So is there a suggestion in all of this that the Northern Ireland law could be going further than the England and Wales law to the extent that the duration of the termination could be different?
I think that is one of the areas which is still not really clear and didn't seem really clear, even in terms of what the government minister, Lord Duncan, in the House of Lords was saying last night. There was a degree of change throughout the course of the debate. He said at one point that he was very clear that there would be a 24-week limit in Northern Ireland. That would be the same as in the rest of the UK. But then there were other peers who said that actually that was incorrect because there are other pretty ancient legislation still on the statute books which would potentially allow people to have abortions up to 28 weeks. There is also this whole question about decriminalisation, that if nothing in relation to abortion law is a criminal offence, and it's going to be regulated in terms of putting in term limits of any sort in some other way, what would actually happen to someone who goes beyond what is proposed in the law? What would actually be the sanction there? Would there be some sort of civil process, a fine? Would it simply be down to what happens to the medics through their regulatory bodies, such as the GMC, where they would potentially be struck off if they took part in something which was outside what Parliament had envisaged? There's really all sorts of questions here. And one of the concerns which was raised in particular by a Conservative peer who was born with a congenital disability was really in relation to disability. And this was Lord Shinquin, who is a very prominent campaigner for those with disabilities. And he spoke in pretty lurid terms when he said that for people with conditions like his, they would, in his view, suffer the death penalty for the crime of being diagnosed with a disability before birth. Now, of course, under the legislation, there will not be any literal sense in which people who are disabled will, of course, be aborted. But what he was arguing was that because there is statistical evidence that where abortion is available before birth for the purposes of disability, for conditions such as Down syndrome, that overwhelmingly that leads to those fetuses, those unborn children, being aborted by their parents, and therefore, from his point of view, that was alarming. There ought to be something built in to safeguard those individuals. So lots of unanswered questions. It is coming back to the House of Commons this afternoon. That will be for a final vote before it goes for royal assent. But as I said at the outset, because this legislation does not actually contain the detail of what will happen, it really gives us a clear steer as to what is going to happen. There will be a very significant liberalisation of the abortion law in Northern Ireland. That is clear, and that is the will of Parliament, and there's no real question around that. But what is not clear is precisely what form that will take, and I think we're likely to see that fought over coming months and over coming years, and probably not just fought over politically, but probably fought over in the courts, because this is such an unusual way to legislate, and it's such a controversial area of law.
Is it possible for any future Northern Ireland Assembly stroke executive to undo the law if they wished to?
That, yes, it would certainly be the case that they could do that, and there would be two ways in which they could do that. If there was a Northern Ireland executive constituted before October of this year, this law would simply not go through. So there is a sunset clause in it, which means that it will only pass if there is no Stormont executive. I think it's very unlikely that we will have a Stormont executive by that point, and therefore I think not very many people are expecting that to happen, so that this does not become law. I think the second way in which Stormont could have an influence here is that if Stormont comes back, this power remains devolved to Stormont. It could do whatever it wanted to do in this area. It could repeal this legislation. It could amend it. But again, that would be something which would be starting from scratch, I suppose, at that point. And one of the issues which was raised by Lord Duncan, the Northern Ireland Office Minister, and by several other peers was that because of the way in which this is drafted, there will be a period of what he described as limbo between the repeal of the very ancient Victorian Offences Against the Person Act and provisions which prohibit abortion, which make it a criminal offence, and between this new regime being put in place. So there will be this period where it is no longer a criminal offence to conduct an abortion, but we do not yet have a new regime as to what is permitted. Now, he was making clear that that will not be a free-for-all. There will be other legislation which will try to impose some sort of order and some sort of structure to what is happening there. But I think even from his perspective, it was clear that there was no clarity as to what will actually be happening within a few months. Also, this was a debate which ran on very late last night. The House of Lords, because of the rushed nature of this, rose at about a quarter to midnight. There was a process there where they actually had to take time to print the bill so that peers could have a copy of it after there had been several amendments passed. Then they reconvened at about 1:30 in the morning, sat for about 10 minutes, passed more amendments in a largely empty chamber. One of those amendments was potentially quite significant because it pushed back the date at which these changes would come in if there is no Stormont Assembly back up and functioning. They pushed the date back from January of next year to March of next year. So that would be March 2020 would be the point at which this would begin to take force. But again, very, very significant questions as to what will actually happen at that point.
Many, many questions to be asked. Sam, thank you very much indeed.